This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Monday night time.
Oh, yeah. Are you ready for some football? We are here in Tampa Bay, and we're going to talk with about that a little bit later in the show. In the meantime, good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Friday, January the 22nd. Wow, this month is flying by, is it not? We'll be talking in a few minutes with Mike Howell of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about President Biden's list of executive orders and how they're so ill-advised. We'll go down the list, by the way, one by one. And turnabout being fair play, now a newly elected Republican congressman, or should I say congresswoman, has filed articles of impeachment against Joe Biden. Indeed, for what he did over in the Ukraine. Remember, he went and threatened that prosecutor. He said, if you don't get off the case, if you don't get fired, Ukraine's not getting this money. So we're gonna talk about that. Along with some other things, by the way, with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceraci. That'll be interesting. And how much is the media hated these days? If you think Donald Trump or a bunch of other people like Kim Jong-un are disliked, wait till you take a look at a new poll on the dislikability of the press. We'll talk about that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 longest living men in recorded history. I'm looking forward to that myself. Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay that I have ever found, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin, Overcash Plaza. A great haircut, great price. Just call 727-733-3773 and get your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. While we're at it, do not forget, start off your weekday with Good Morning Clearwater, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, they just make you feel good, don't they? All right, we got a lot of things going on. I can't wait to talk with this Mike Howell about these executive orders. Remember how they went after Donald Trump for issuing executive orders? Wait till you hear about all the executive orders that Mr. Biden has enacted and will enact. In the meantime, I'm getting a kick out of this. Georgia conservative congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene yesterday made good on her promise to file articles of impeachment against Joe Biden. She took to Twitter to make her announcement. She says, I've just filed articles of impeachment on President Joe Biden. We will see how this goes. I can tell you how it's going to go. It's going to go. Because there's not going to be a lot of, let's say, Democratic support for this.
You laugh.
I do laugh.
That might be their way to get Biden out and Harris in.
Yeah, you never know.
The Dems might not even put up a fight.
Maybe the Dems even put the bug in her ear. Because they want to get good old Kamala in there. Mm-hmm. Well, she claims she's basing the impeachment on his abuse of power from his time as vice president. She accuses him, this is Biden, of enabling bribery and blatant nepotism by utilizing Hunter, his beloved son, Hunter, and Hunter's position on the Ukrainian energy company Burisma. Well, we know that's true. And we know he's getting money. Hunter Biden got a ton of money from that energy company. And we know that Hunter's dealings in China were helped on by dear Father Joe. We know that. And we know money came into Hunter's. Now we can see from his computer, they were setting up the whole thing for payoffs to good old dear old Joe. We know that. Come on. Of course, they don't want to deal with that. The press suppresses that kind of thing. So she goes on to say, President Joe Biden is unfit to hold the office of the presidency. His pattern of abuse of power as President Obama's vice president is lengthy and disturbing. President Biden has demonstrated that he will do whatever it takes to bail out his son Hunter and line his family pockets with cash from corrupt foreign energy companies. I wonder if you could squeeze that all onto the articles of impeachment. And away we go, right? I can see Chuck Schumer going, oh, I can't wait to get that one, you know, in the Senate so we can try him, right?
Somewhere Bernie Sanders is telling Biden, I told you not to trust those people.
You have a pretty good imitation of him, Sanders. We have to... Maybe we can put you on Saturday Night Live. Do you think you could?
Well, Bernie Sanders is a little bit like Doc in Back to the Future. You know, Marty, don't go in there, Marty. You know, Bernie's kind
of
like that.
Yeah, he has a little
don't
bit of that.
Don't tell those people I told you. And you shake your fist.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I wonder if Bernie was actually the actor that played in Back to the Future.
Remember during the debates, the point? He always had the point.
Did you see that picture of him sitting during the inauguration? Isn't that the key? He looked like a cute little, I don't know, nebbish.
That thing is
cute little nebbish.
That's going around the internet like you would not believe. There is people superimpose
and they're photoshopping
that.
It all.
Yeah,
there was one of Big Ben
from Pittsburgh sitting on the bench alone, and there's Bernie Sanders next to him.
Did you see the one with, what was his name, Tom Hanks' character? He's sitting
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, he's sitting on the bench next to Forrest Gump. Actually, he looked pretty good sitting on the bench next to Forrest Gump. That looked real.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, that's right. Box of chocolates every... Oh, well. Anyway, away we go with the articles of impeachment. Well, you know what? If they can go after Trump a second time and he's not even president, don't you think they ought to give some consideration to this lady? Let's see here. Now, Biden has repeatedly denied involvement in all of these things going on in Kiev and his son's work. At one point, he said he did not even know and didn't know anything about the Burisma Energy executives. Then a picture comes out, a photo comes out. He's playing golf with them. He's standing there with two of their executives and his son playing golf. So, you know, I mean, why don't the press ask him questions about that? I would. The only guy at the press, Biden held a press, not Biden, his press secretary held a press conference yesterday, and she did take some questions from Fox, which, you know, Fox is going to ask some tough ones, right? They asked about why he was standing around in the Lincoln Memorial without a mask on when he said that everybody that gets into any kind of a federal office building or federal environment has to wear a mask. There he is. He's standing with a group of people. He has no mask on. So much for following your own orders.
Remember, was it last week, Nancy Pelosi got her laptop stolen?
Yes, and I wouldn't give you 10 cents for it.
Yeah.
But go
ahead. How fast did they get that back?
They probably got it back pretty quick, didn't they?
Yet they have Biden's Hunter Biden's laptop in his hard drive.
Oh, yeah, the FBI.
We haven't heard anything on it.
Oh, I know. And did you notice that Christopher Wray, the FBI director, is going to stay?
Oh, yeah?
I've never always worried about that guy. He's a real political animal, that Christopher Wray, the FBI director. I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't turn my back on that guy. Anyway, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Mike Howell from the Heritage Foundation is going to tell us about how some of these, and maybe most of these Biden executive orders, are rather ill-advised.
Like the legend of the Phoenix.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Thank you so very much for being with us here on Freedom Works. And by the way, he's now the Senate Minority Leader. This is hard. I was going to say Senate Majority Leader. Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. He says Joe Biden's headed in the wrong direction right out of the gate. Speaking from the Senate floor yesterday, he condemned several executive actions Biden has taken, including revoking the permit for the Keystone Pipeline, rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, and removing a Trump-appointed general counsel to the National Labor Relations Board. Where's all this unity that we were supposed to get with Joe Biden? Anyway, we're delighted to have Mike Howell join us. He is a senior advisor for executive branch relations at the Heritage Foundation. And he has joined a bunch of the Heritage experts basically responding to these executive orders. Mike, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. There are so many here we can talk about, but he has pledged, Joe Biden has, I think about 12 executive orders, including rejoining the WHO, lifting the travel ban, we got the border wall, we got sanctuary cities, we got DACA, we got the pipeline, we got student loan forgiveness. I don't know where to start, but let's start with one of the ones that I saw you directly respond to, and that's the border wall. We got a bunch of people that are apparently coming up again. It looks pretty dangerous, actually. Maybe thousands of them that are trying to get to the border. Let's talk a little bit about that. Apparently, Biden is going to make it a little bit easier for these people, right?
He's going to make it a lot easier. I mean, he took a ton of immigration-related action on the border wall, essentially. He's saying, we're going to stop building wall. The funds that Congress already appropriated, our elected representatives got together and decided to compromise, at least on some amount of wall funding. But that's all for naught. He's going to stop building anymore. And keep in mind, it costs money to roll back these projects. It's not like you just cut it off and it stops. So we're going to pay to stop building wall, which is crazy. And the nominee for the Secretary for Homeland Security also entertained the idea in his confirmation hearing. They want to tear down wall. The only thing that could stop them is the law. And he acknowledged that if they could, they would. And they're going to try to figure out a legal way to do it. Now, there's no reason to tear down wall, except for a political statement and also to make it just easier for people to get in the country. What they're doing on the interior is pushing for the biggest amnesty in American history, over 10 million people. They want to fundamentally change this country because they think it serves their political interests at the voting booth. And so they're going to do all sorts of things to keep the magnet on and the border open, and it's going to change this country for the worse. And I think he's going to have a crisis on his hands pretty soon. I mean, people are already barreling towards the border. These caravans are chanting Biden, Biden, Biden.
Yeah, and you look at these people, and we're in the midst of a COVID-19 crisis. They're going to be pouring in. None of them are wearing masks. I mean, think of the logistics. Think of the logistics. You're going to have to do something about checking to see if they've got the virus. I mean, what is going on? And then we're trying to inoculate people in this country. Now, I've noticed that the Biden and the administration are kind of stepping back. They're not too excited about that huge caravan.
Well, the problem is for them, they're going to try to push through this huge immigration bill, and it becomes a lot harder if there's a rush on the border. But they caused this rush on the border. I mean, the rhetoric throughout the campaign and through the early stages of this administration has been come in because we're not going to deport you. They're shutting down ICE for 100 days. There was a great report by a guy named Todd Benson at the Center for Immigration Studies where he talks to some folks in this caravan. And everyone's understanding the caravan is you better get in 100 days because ICE won't support you. So get in before this amnesty happens. So it's bad politics in opening the border and then trying to push a huge immigration bill because the public appetite for it is going to be really low as we see the crisis already unfolding. So it's going to be a tough sell. It should be a tough sell because it's really, really bad for this country. People don't want it. We all agree we're at a moment in time in our country's history where there's a lot of division. I don't think there's an argument for adding millions and millions more citizens until we get our house in order here. And especially when you look at, we're still recovering from this COVID pandemic and the economy. It's a tough sell, and it should be because it's really, really bad for this country.
Absolutely overwhelming. And along with that, sanctuary cities, he's going to remove apparently consequences for sanctuary cities. What's going on with that?
Well, I mean, it just shows that the far left is really the tail wagging the dog here. I mean, the opposition to sanctuary cities policies is high throughout the country. I think people commonly understand if there's a violent criminal or someone gets arrested, you should turn them over to ICE if they're an illegal alien. You don't re-release them into the country. But it's a huge political thing, and it was a huge metric of success under the Trump administration to go after them, the sanctuary cities. And so anything that Trump did is, therefore bad, according to this new administration. And so they're going to try to get rid of it. The federal policies that go after sanctuary cities to try, take away the incentives for them to do this sort of thing. And you couple this with what they're doing on the travel ban. We had liberals called this a Muslim ban. It wasn't a Muslim ban. It applied to countries that were non-Muslim as well as Muslims, and it made no distinction based on a traveler's religion. I mean, North Korea was on this list, for heaven's sakes. There's not a lot of Muslims in North Korea. And what it did was take countries that can't screen their individuals and share the information with us, in countries that have huge terrorism problems, we shouldn't be letting people travel from those countries to the same extent we let them travel from countries that do not have those problems. Absolute common sense, right? And it worked. We haven't had major incidents in this country over the past 4 years. And they're scrapping sanctuary city policies. It's all trading national security for political correctness. It's a shame.
We're talking with Mike Howell, a senior advisor for executive branch relations at the Heritage Foundation, and talking about a piece you can find on their website, by the way, Heritage Foundation Experts Respond to Ill-Advised Biden Executive Orders. You know, the one that really kind of got under my skin right away, it's like they couldn't wait to undo the Keystone XL pipeline. That was even during the Obama years. They admitted that there was not going to be any environmental, hardly, if anything, no environmental harm with the pipeline. And if you think about it, transporting oil through a pipeline is generally a lot safer than rail or truck.
You're absolutely right. It's taken on a symbolic importance for the environmentalists and the left. There's not a really good argument as to why we shouldn't do it. And with the stroke of a pen, think of how many jobs just went away. Senator Cruz, was pushing Mayor Pete Buttigieg, the nominee for transportation, yesterday on this. And Cruz basically asked him, what are we going to do with all these people who lost their jobs that were working there? Mayor Pete said, well, we'll have to find a new one. So that's not going to bode well for the people who have to put food on the table.
That's funny.
And then couple this. I mean, it's like all over the board here. They're rejoining the World Health Organization, an international organization that was massively screwed up messaging on COVID and was the parrot arm of the Chinese propaganda machine. but then also the Paris Climate Accord. This is a deal that didn't work, won't work, and it cost American jobs, and it doesn't gain anything. Basically, it shuts down a lot of American energy industry, all in the hopes that we can lower the temperature of the world by, you know, 1/10 of a degree Celsius in like 15 years, and it's going 400,000 jobs out the window. So yeah, I don't think any president on his first day in office has caused more unemployment for Americans. It's pretty wild, you know, first day he had.
I'm thinking about China ignoring the Paris Climate Accord, or getting an exemption or whatever they get, because they're probably the biggest polluters.
And, oh yeah, they are.
And yet, how long is it before they you know, why is the United States having to toe the line, but somehow China does not have to?
Because it's a designer handbag issue, as I like to call it, for elite liberals. You know, it's easy for them to message on their, you know, Greenpeace type stuff. They don't have to worry about those, you know, rube coal miners and others in the energy industry. It's a virtue signaling deal. And anyone who thinks China has a good record of living up to their international obligations hasn't been paying attention for the last, you know, few decades. Of course, China's not going to comply. There's no enforcement mechanisms in this deal. The only one who's going to comply and suffer is the United States. That's all right for these libs who, you know, are fine with being able to say, oh, I care so much about the environment, I'm willing to, you know, have other, you know, less fortunate people in my country suffer.
Yeah, indeed. What about student loan forgiveness? I think about all of these companies that loan out the money, and all of a sudden, a goodly portion of it's not coming back to them. What kind of an example is that? If you take out a loan and you sign the paperwork on it, I mean, somebody loans you the money, and you're not going to pay them back?
Yeah, it's the absolute moral hazard of the worst kind, right? I mean, this applies to any other industry, like even the mortgage industry. What happens, or any other type of loan? But I think it's what Biden did is he paused it. I think it goes till September for interest payments. You don't have to pay your balance or accrue any interest. But let's realize what's happening here. This is the first step to buy them time to push forward what the far left wants, which is absolute student loan forgiveness. Now, why this is really bad is because the root cause is that the federal government shouldn't be funding these loans in the first place and guaranteeing them, because it removes any incentive for colleges to steer, you know, students towards careers that actually will enable them to pay back their loans. It's just an absolute cash cow for these universities to, you know, pump up their gender studies and critical race departments and put, you know, these useless degrees out there, and it doesn't work for anyone, and the taxpayer's on the hook. If you graduated high school and got a good job and worked hard, you're the one who's paying for the $200,000 Cal Berkeley student, you know, who's got $200,000 in debt for their gender studies and critical race theory degree. And now they're driving Uber.
I think so.
You know?
Yes.
Wow.
Indeed. And alongside that, a moratorium on eviction and foreclosures, well, that's going to hurt people, probably the wrong people, right?
Right. I mean, a lot of this isn't just huge apartment companies and, you know, holding companies that are going to suffer. It's, you know, people who have something like savings and, you know, they have a second home, or they rent a room in their basement, et cetera. So the ramifications apply down the board. It's not just the bigwigs who are going to suffer, but it's also established this precedent. The federal government is basically inserting themselves into a private contractual agreement between individuals and siding with one entity. Now, if they can do that here, where else can they do it? Any policy objective that they have, they can just enter into the contractual agreement and void it or do whatever they want. I think it won't hold up legally, but that's certainly what they'd like to do. I mean, they're entering into a path of just super federal control. I mean, look, the same thing as the mask mandate that they put out. It's on, you know, interstate travel. So if you get on a plane, the federal government says you have to, you know, wear this garment on your face. And if you don't, we're going to punish you. And I love how you brought up, you know, getting, I was listening to you talk about how Biden violated his executive order on his first day in office. I mean, you track this stuff. I've been looking for examples. I can't find a single example of the president violating his own executive order on day one in office. Talk about just a wild day.
It is. This is a little off of that, because this is not really under executive orders. But they're going to the Democrats are going to try to enact a $15 minimum wage federally. And do you think, Mike, that the way the Congress is situated right now, we have almost 50-50 in both houses. We have 50-50 in the Senate, and we have maybe two or three or four more Democrats than Republicans in the House. The Senate can actually filibuster And that means that you will need 60 votes to stop a filibuster so that you can consider action on a bill. Do you think that a $15 minimum wage indeed will be passed?
Well, I think the big question is if they get rid of the filibuster. Getting rid of the filibuster means that you only need 51, and you got 50 senators plus Kamala Harris as the tie-breaking vote. So, we're thinking that they're going to try. And if they succeed, I think they'll certainly be able to. I think ultimately, even a lot of those on the left in the Senate understand that when we have, the country has tried in specific places instituting high, above market minimum wage, it's had really perverse consequences. I mean, Seattle was a great example of this. People just stopped hiring. It's interfering in this market, economy, and it rewards people who do have jobs, but hours are cut for those, and so you end up making less money. And then people who are looking for jobs won't get hired because businesses just aren't going to hire them. And coming out of this COVID crisis,
maybe the pandemic will make them hold off on considering something like this right away because it looks so bad. Businesses are trying to stay open, especially small businesses, and the last thing they need is to have their wages, forced to pay higher wages.
You're absolutely right. Generally speaking, in terms of, whether they hold off or go fast, we're going to see a period where they're going to try to go very, very fast because a lot of what they're doing is deeply unpopular and consequential. And so there's this, window of political opportunity for them to push it through right after the election. And this immigration bill is going to have a backlash like you've never seen from the country because the country doesn't want it. And they have to pick and choose which one of these things they really push and hang their hat on because time is limited, but expect them to stack the calendar pretty early. They're not going to wait around.
Right. Mike, it's a pleasure talking with you, and thank God for the Heritage Foundation. Keep up the good fight.
Hey, thank you. You too.
All right, sir. Mike Howell, Heritage Foundation, going to take our break when we come back. The Master Barber himself going to talk a little bit about this impeachment, heaven forbid, this impeachment of Joe Biden.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. By the way, if you can't hear us live, you can hear us anytime, thanks to Ed, on podcast. Indeed. All our shows are put on podcast, and all you have to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com, and look at the top and click on it. There you go. Get in there, take a look at the different shows. We do them. Ed puts them in there chronologically for you. The latest show at the top. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, now the National Guard is being treated apparently rather shabbily. Reports of bad treatment of Guard troops at the Capitol, sparking bipartisan outrage. Thousands of troops had deployed, as you know, to the Capitol for the inauguration Wednesday. You saw photos of Guard members sleeping on marble floors in the Capitol. Then they got caught because, you know, those cots, because people felt bad for them. Then another insult, the guard members were told to take their break time inside a parking garage instead of in the Capitol. So they kick him out of the Capitol. Both on the left and on the right, they're saying they should not be treated like that. But this is what happens. And if you think about it, in a democratically controlled city like Washington, D.C., and frankly, there were a lot of Democrats that said, you know, these National Guard, we got to watch them too, because there's a lot of Trump-likers in that group, a lot of white Trump-likers. I mean, it was nonsense. Anyway, delighted to have the proprietor of the Barber Pole with us, Andrew Ceresi. And Andrew, I'm sure that you were berserk with grief when you heard that GOP Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene filed articles of impeachment against Joe Biden.
Well, I think that's great. You know, you may as well put a branding iron on his butt when he first starts. But anyway,
yes.
You know, I got to congratulate Smokin' Joe. In a day and a half, he murdered 4,375 people with COVID. He fired 50,000 people from their jobs between the wall, the pipeline, all the secondary things. And he's doing a great job. Did you see yesterday where he forgot to salute the Marines when he was walking by, and his little earpiece told him, salute the Marines. So he looked at the Marines and said, salute the Marines.
No, didn't he really?
Yes, he did.
He said, salute the Marines.
You know, this guy is doing so good. And, you know, they're treating our National Guard great. This is unbelievable. And you know what else, too? What about the riots in Portland? Did you see where they destroyed the Democrat office?
Yeah, they're going after both Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, well, they're not terrorists, are they? They're just peaceful protesters. I haven't heard anything on the news about that.
The media, in fact, we're going to talk about that a little bit. The media is at the lowest point ever in terms of how people feel about them. And you're right. They suppress things like this kind of left-wing violence that's going on currently in three cities that I know of, Portland, Seattle, and Denver.
What I'm really proud of him of is firing the first black Surgeon General.
I did not know that. Is he getting rid of that guy?
Yeah, there you go. He asked him to resign. Now, that's really good for his relations with the black people. You know, I mean, why would you sit there and get rid of a guy that's doing a great job? I mean, that shows me something's going on. And this guy is good. You know what? I'm saying in 3 months, people are going to be begging for Trump in this group. And I can't wait till they see the gas prices. He's got Canada mad at him, and he's got Iran loving him. What does that tell you?
Yeah, I know.
He's got his Chinese bodyguard making sure he makes all the right moves every day. Yeah, this guy's doing great.
Yeah, this is really something. Now, they had a press conference with his new press secretary, and one of the questions that was asked was, and it came from Fox News, President Biden puts a mask mandate on anybody that enters a federal building, and then we see him wandering around the Lincoln Memorial, which of course is a federal building, couldn't be more federal, without a mask in this big group.
Well, Paul, he was lost. He thought he was in the White House bathroom.
Now that explains it.
Paul, this is going to get so good. It's phenomenal. Look at, he got Dr. Fauci back. And you know what? I heard that the CDC is changing their guidelines now for the COVID deaths. In other words, you're going to see more people dying of heart attacks and cancer now to bring the death rates of COVID down to make Biden and his people look really good.
Well, and it's always been rather suspect about how many people really died as a direct cause of COVID-19. They might have had COVID-19, but dollars to donuts, they had other things
now
that
you'll
were
find out.
Doing them in.
Now we'll find out what the actual number is, because we're going to make it come down to make him look good. So, and as far as his 100 million doses in 100 days, well, good luck with that one, my friend.
Yeah.
They can only produce them. This guy talks like a man whatever you want to call it.
By the way, we're talking with the master barber, Andrew Ceresi. By the way, you get the best haircut in Tampa Bay if you go to his place, which is located in Dunedin. He is... I don't know what he. Now I lost my train of thought on it, but he is going around and doing all kinds of things that are just ticking people off one by one. He wanted to, supposedly, he said he was going to bring, he was trying to bring both sides together. I don't see how he's doing it.
He's going to make one side. Everybody's going to be against him.
Yes. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is now that ex-President Trump is back in Florida, back in Mar-a-Lago, I'm wondering, do you think he will be planning, will he be appearing on a regular basis in the news? Do you think they'll try to suppress him?
Oh, of course they're going to. Paul, he's a threat as long as he's alive to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they know it. That guy's got 80 million followers.
Right.
And they're not turning their back on him, believe me.
No.
And it's like I'm telling you, people are very, very fed up with the Republican Party. There's no question about that. We got a few good Republicans, don't get me wrong, but the majority of them are Republicrats. So I know you don't believe in a third party and this, but I'm telling you, there's got to be time for a change in this country.
Yeah. No,
and now is the time.
Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't believe in it, Andrew. It's that if you try to create that third party and try to take a bunch of Republicans that like Trump, you'll lose to the Democrats, as you know what I mean. You'll have splitting the Republicans.
I understand what you're saying, but this is a total different situation that this country is in. You got Democrats that don't like what's going on. You had you got an illegitimate president. Let's be real. We all know this thing was stolen, okay? And you got Democrats that notice. By forming this new party, you're going to have more than 80 million followers, especially when they keep going on this. In 2 days, look at the beautiful things he's doing. I mean, I can't wait till July when the gas is $4 a gallon.
I haven't
seen nothing yet.
I'm just wondering if Biden will actually make any sense at all by the time July rolls around. For him, that's a lifetime.
Well, you're probably right. Camilla's probably putting some antifreeze in his morning bottle of milk as we speak. You know, I wouldn't doubt anything.
She might be anxious to. She might be anxious to take the main chair.
And that'll be good too, because you know she can fund Antifa and Black Lives Matters to riot when she gets in. She'll have control of that even more than she had when they were rioting.
Somebody brought up the fact that during the inauguration on Wednesday, you know, they were talking about the family member showing up. Hunter Biden, by the way, did show up for the inauguration. I don't know if you saw that.
He had his little crack pipe in his pocket.
Well, he probably did, but I'm wondering, you know, he's kicked his own daughter to the curb. I don't think he's bringing the one that he fathered with that other woman. Remember the one that he was contesting, and then it turned
out
it was...
role model family.
So, you know, of course, you'll never hear about that, right? And... We're gonna see the mainstream media, which by the way has reached its lowest popularity level, is going to make it seem for the most part that things are smooth sailing, and we've returned some normalcy back at the White House. You know, with Joe Biden.
You know, Paul, the media can say whatever they want. What the people goes on in their home is going to be two different things. You're going to say, well, why are they saying this, and why am I going through this?
Yeah.
This is crazy here. What's going on?
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of stupid Americans. Don't get me wrong. I know there's got to be 74 million that voted for somebody. Well, maybe 50 million, because the other were just added on. We know
okay.
that.
About
so
20...
I got to lower that. There's less stupid Americans than I thought.
Yes.
But, people are going to see what's going on. Paul, they're already seeing it. Look at this one. He's signing an executive order to get rid of the patriotism being taught in classrooms again, right? And he's talking about teaching the Muslim religion in classrooms.
Which executive?
Wait till the people hear this one.
Which executive order are you talking about here? Seriously, which
he
one?
Has an executive order that Donald Trump wrote to bring patriotism back into the classrooms.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he's scratching that one off.
He did.
He doesn't want patriotism brought back into classrooms, but he does want to have Muslim religion taught in the classrooms.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen that specific executive order, but, you know, this is where all of our trouble really begins. The way we've treated the intent of the Founding Fathers through our education, and we're not teaching the truth as to why this country was founded. And what it was founded on, that's taken a back seat. That's taken a back seat to the liberal approach of kind of rewriting the Constitution, as it were, you know?
Yep. You know, it amazes me, everything that's going on, Paul. What I'm really going to do is I'm going to start listening to the radio show on Thursdays, because I want to hear what the voice of reason has got to say about everything that's unreasonable going on here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the voice of reason is on 10 to 11 on Thursday.
It's going to have to change the name to the voice of no reason. I don't know.
After you invite those gentlemen back on again, we can talk, since Biden's become president, and we can talk.
Oh, well, they're going to give us a lot to talk about now.
Talk a little bit more about it.
Because I'm going to have to ask him about all these things. I mean, they're nice guys, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yes. I like them
both. And we have, different voices of opinions, but... Exactly. I don't know what you're going to talk about here, buddy. This is all the destruction of America. I want to see those two guys riding their skateboard this summer.
There is always a lot to talk about when it comes to politics. I'll tell you what, it's never been like this in my lifetime. I've never seen anything like it with all of what is going on. And, Andrew, it is such a pleasure to have you as a buddy.
Paul, and a contributor. I think you need to start the show from now on with "You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet."
Ah! Yeah, who used to say that? You ain't. Al Jolson. Al Jolson did it.
It's a song. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, Al Jolson used to say that, at least in the old-time movies. With that,
you need to start your show off with that, buddy, and we'll have the one big thing he did in the week is a spectacular, you know?
Well, that could be. We'll bring up the big Biden the big Biden mistake of the week. All right, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Paul. You have a good weekend, and Biden be with you.
Oh, I'm afraid.
But he's not with me.
I know. I don't blame you. But we'll talk on Monday, my friend.
You got it, my friend. Bye-bye.
All right. The Master Barber. All right, we're going to take our break. Among other things, when we come back, a new poll, media trust at an all-time low, and we're going to talk about our beloved Bucks going up to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment here on a Friday. And a new poll finds that trust in the media has never been lower, and that a majority of Americans believe that the outlets bringing them their news are more interested in political agendas than the objective truth. It was conducted by the global communications company Edelman, and they say 46% of Americans trust the media. 46%. That means 54% do not. This is the lowest number of trust ever recorded in the 20 years that Edelman has done the poll. The mistrust, in part, stems from a widespread belief that delivering the news is no longer the number one priority for the media. 58% of Americans think that most news organizations are more concerned with supporting an ideology or a political position. Well, we know that, don't we? Absolutely. All right.
Before, I was going to say, it's not only the news media, Paul. Look at the Weather Channel. It's taking a hit because of their shenanigans.
What are they doing?
Well, they got caught. One reporter was in ankle-deep water, and he was on his knees to make it look like he was wading waist-deep.
Oh, that goes back a while.
And then one guy was acting like he was trying to hold on to a lamppost because he was being blown away, and two kids walked past him bouncing a basketball.
Only
yeah, they got busted big
go
time.
Go to the videotape.
It's comical. It's
now,
very funny.
In that particular case, of course, this isn't what we would call a political bias, but it's like they're trying to engender excitement and how dangerous it is. And
make things
keep watching.
Sounds
us.
Familiar. Make things us. Sound worse than they are.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, Ed, I want to talk to you a little bit about this glorious game coming up Sunday afternoon around 3 o'clock. Our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going up to, might as well be going up to the North Pole. They're going up to Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I'm going to love watching this game because it's going to be cold out. There may be some snow. We've got two great quarterbacks. I think there's a chance Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, wins the Most Valuable Player Award. Do they, when they come up with that, do they vote that before or after playoffs, Most Valuable Player Award in the NFL?
You're talking about for the season?
Yeah.
You know? It should be announced soon. I think they try when it's all said and done, yeah.
Do the voters wait until after the season to do it?
I believe so,
okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, Aaron Rodgers, maybe based on this game, Tom Brady, the Bucs quarterback, if we win, what do you think? First of all, there's going to be a lot of interest in this particular game. I guess Rodgers is having a banner year with the Green Bay Packers.
And you have to remember, the Bucs did beat them here at home during the regular season.
In fact, it was a rather one-sided game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was a blowout. As far as the weather goes, it's going to be about 27, 28 degrees. Snow will fall early in the morning, should taper off and be done by game time at 3 o'clock. So it's going to be about a 24, 25-degree game. And I keep hearing this, the Bucs can't win in the cold. You know, that was a long time ago, which they dispelled that when they beat Philadelphia in the championship game in 2002. And to top it off, the quarterback we've got, I think he's played in a few snow games before.
Coming from the New England
Patriots. And I don't
want to
hear,
he's
been in Florida a while, maybe his blood's thinned out.
No.
That doesn't, 6 months in Florida doesn't erase 20 years in New England. Okay? You've got receivers, Gronkowski, who was with him in New England. He caught passes in the snow. You've got...
let's face it, it's not going to be any kind of a factor that makes it better for one team or another. Because the cold, we've all experienced.
Antonio Brown is who we got from the Steelers. He's caught passes in the snow. So I don't want to hear that.
Right.
But I honestly think, and the hype that's going on, I think the Bucs pull it out, believe it or not.
You do.
Yeah, and the Bucs organization is so fired up today, they announced they were giving away 10,000 car flags. And do you know the traffic jam it caused on Dale Mabry?
No, I didn't.
About 10,000 people rolled into one Buck place, causing a huge backup around the stadium.
Just for a lousy car flag?
For a lousy car flag.
Wow. So you think that, I hate to disagree with you, Ed, and I'm rooting for the Bucs, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Green Bay will win this game. I think they have a better overall team. But it's going to be a very, very interesting game. Will it be a close game in your opinion, or is it a good one?
I don't think so. Here's the thing. I don't think the Bucs offense, and I think you'll agree, I don't think they've peaked yet. They've not played their best game yet. And when they do, look out.
Yeah. Okay, quickly, the other team and the other game will be Buffalo-Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know about the quarterback for Kansas City? He had a concussion.
He's been practicing lightly. Looks like he will play.
Looks like he'll play.
And I think Kansas City takes that game.
Okay. Will it be close?
Yeah, I think it'll be close. I think Buffalo will keep it within 4 points.
Okay, give me the spread in the Green Bay-Tampa Bay game.
Well, here's the thing. The Packers have 3 points, which usually any team playing at home gets an automatic 3 points. That shows you how...
It's an even game.
Yeah, it's an even game.
So how many points do the Bucs win by?
I think the Bucs are going to go 34, and the Packers will be 17.
Wow. Wow, that's a 17-point spread. I'm writing that down. We'll see how
I think
it does.
They come out of the gate fast and hard.
Well, that'll be great. This should be an exciting game. Okay, my friend, it is time for our top 10. And these are the top 10 longest-living men. Remember we did the top 10 longest-living women on the last show.
Are you in it?
I just knew you'd say some cheap shot like that. And I'm just going to be respectful and say I was 12th. I didn't make it, okay? All right, here we go, number 10. It comes from Israel. The guy's name was Yisrael with a Y, Yisrael Crystal. He was born in 1903. He lived for 113 years and 330 days. Must have been those great matzo balls.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number 9. Comes from the United States.
Wow.
Freddie Hale. Well, I knew him as Freddie. Fred Hale, he was born in 1890. Listen to this. He died in 2004.
Wow.
He lived for almost 114 years. Number 8. A German, Gustav Gerneth. Born in 1905, he lived for 114 years and 7 days. 114 years. Good Lord. Okay, number 7. From Spain, John Riedewetz, I guess is the name. And he was born in 1889. He lived for 114 years and 81 days. Number 6. Yukichi Chiganji from Japan. We always have somebody from Japan.
Yeah, Yukichi. Yeah.
You knew him. Hmm? He was born in 1889, 114 years and 189 days.
Wow.
There's a lot of 114 people here, okay? All right, number 5. United States, Walter Brunig. He was born in 1896. He died in 2011. 114 years, 205 days. Number 4. Another American, Matthew Beard. He was born in 1870. 1870, that's 5 years after the Civil War. He lived to 1985. Wow. 114 years, 222 days. Wow, he saw a lot in his life.
Yeah.
Number 3. Puerto Rico, Emiliano Marquez de Toro. And he was born in 1891. He lived for 115 years and 156 days. I wonder if he spent the entire time on that little island.
Mm.
You know?
It's a long time.
That's a long time. I'd get bored. Number 2. Another United States. Wow.
Mm.
It pays to be an American. Christian Mortensen. 1882 he was born, and he died in 1998. 115 years, 252 days. Okay, Ed, what country do you think the longest living man came from?
Let's go back to Japan.
Bingo.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, roll the whatever.
I did.
Jeremon Kimura was born in 1897, and he lived till just a few years ago, 2013, 116 years and 52 days.
So one less than the women, because the women topped out at 117 and change.
Yeah, and there was a question about that woman. We didn't get into it, and I don't have time to talk about it now, but there was a question about her. Anyway, thank you for joining us. We'll be back on Monday. Please remember, freedom works.
Hear the drums echoing tonight.